Good morning, Orchard. Man, I couldn't wait to be with you. I was on the plane crafting the sermon, had it all figured out, but then I spoke to Scott and the team yesterday and just changed everything because I just felt something had to be different. And the word I got for this weekend was encourage the people here. Just encourage them. Remind them who they are. It's easy to forget who you are. You know, sometimes you look in the mirror and you go, oh, no. Well, who is this person? And then you think about maybe when you're a teenager and you had imagined who you would become, and maybe you're not that. And I said, man, okay, God, well, what should I talk about? And then everything started to sync up. In like 5 minutes, it just synced. And I'm going to pray that God will just speak to you. By the time the service is done, I'm going to invite you to get prayer, because my sense is that God wants to really free a lot of us up and just to have a lot of fun, and to really live this life in a different way. So if you would you bow with me now for a moment? Holy Spirit, we invite you to do your thing. There's no one like you. You're so beautiful. You're amazing. Rest in this room. May your presence be felt in every corner, every space here. God, whether we're Muslim, Buddhist, Catholic, Protestant, whatever, pray that Jesus would just become so real to us that we'd fall at his feet and be willing to do anything, go anywhere, not out of guilt or compulsion, but out of joy. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's this an awareness test, and a lot of times, you know, we're not able to really see things. Even though it's visible to us, we don't really see. So I want to test the Orchard community on where you are on this. Because my sense is you're pretty good observers, but let's see where we really are. What you're going to look at is a group of people in white shirts passing the ball. I'd like you to count how many times they pass the ball. See if you're right. But remember, try to observe as carefully as possible. Let's check it out.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
You know, it's easy to miss something. Isn't that crazy? You know, you can be looking at something, but then totally miss something that's actually there. You know, my guess is that a lot of times you're asking, God, where in the world are you? Do you see where I am? Are you here? And the dancing bear is right in front of you. Sometimes you're looking for this deep relationship, and they're actually right there. Sometimes you're looking for a different situation. You say, God, I can't stand the crap you put me into. And God says, do you see me? I'm right here with you. Hey, Orchard, do you know who you are? My guess is if you know who you are and who God is and who the people around you are, as well as your work, really understand that, you're going to be changed. You will be transformed to live a life that's incredible. Because God has not called you to live in mediocrity, but he's called you to live a life that's abundant, full, and free. And so I'm going to pray that God would just speak to you as we look at this incredible passage. And as we do, I want you to remember this main movement of life. The movement is a movement from illusion to reality. And reality, when we think about it, sometimes we get discouraged. But I'm talking about the reality of God. When you get to see God, the dancing bear right there, the Lion of Judah, you're not going to fear how you're going to live your life this next week. Turn your Bibles to chapter 4. And if you don't have your Bibles, just look on the screen. John chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 1. says, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though John himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way, eventually came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. And don't you know, it was hot. Okay, so people would be thirsty. Like here in Aurora, I heard it's getting hot. And it said, soon a Samaritan came, a woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at that time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Do you understand what she's talking about there? The Samaritans were half Jew and half Gentile. They were the Creole type people. And so they were like on the ethnic chart or the race chart, they're considered like the lowest rung of the ladder. In fact, if you read like Josephus, a key historian for this era, he would say that many people thought that if their Jewish son married like a Samaritan daughter, that was worse than going to hell. They did not like each other. They wouldn't talk to each other. They had a perspective of one another that was horrible. That's why she was so confused. Why are you talking to me? And Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you'd ask me and I would give you living water. Now, this is where it gets really cool. Jesus many times is like the ultimate Bruce Lee, okay? It's like, you know, he talks cryptically at times. And those who need to get it will get it. Those who don't have no understanding of what's going on. And Jesus is going to take her on a journey. You're going to see him talking at a certain reality level that she's not there. She's not getting it. Let's see this come out into fruition. It says, the woman was surprised, verse 11, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? And Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water, again, it gets kind of weird again, will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Now, does she get this? No. Look what she says. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied, and she was hiding. But Jesus is going to go right into her space and point out what's real. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? And she's kind of doing a red herring. Now, attention's being brought to her, but she's kind of deflecting over to something else, another issue. We'll do that a lot. Jesus starts to hone down in on us, and we'll point at everybody else. Oh, yeah, they're hypocrites there. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that. When Jesus gets really down to us, we don't want to pay attention. We don't want to deal with the real. You know, one of the friends I have, this consultant friend of mine, he's a Hispanic man, a top Hispanic leader that's rising in America. And he says there's a couple questions we need to ask of ourselves. One of them is, what's the conversation I need to have that I'm not having right now? Think about that. What's the conversation that I probably need to have that I'm not having right now? There's certain ones that we tend to avoid, especially when it has to deal with us or something painful. There's another thought is, what do I need to pay attention to that I'm avoiding right now? What is that? A lot of times it has to deal with us, because we are the ones that we can change. Look at verse 21. Jesus replied, believe me, dear women, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the ones you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Whoa. I am the dancing bear. Can you imagine that scene right there? Where she's totally talking about this other type of water, and she's talking about this Messiah that's coming, and then suddenly she's looking, and then she looks even more deep, and she sees, oh, yeah, you are the Messiah. And how would she know that he is the Messiah? Well, check it out here. Just then, his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her, and why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, and this is one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. What was it that she was so startled by and overwhelmed by when it came to her encounter with Jesus? What do you see? She ran back to the village and said what? Come back and meet this man who told me everything about me. You know how you could translate that? Come and meet this incredible man who knows me. Hey, guys, I'm going to give you a big old secret. It took me many years. Some of you guys have been married for a while and you still haven't gotten it. It's going to be worth any offering you give today in the plate, all right? Your wife, the woman someday you're supposed to marry, for some of you are singles, doesn't want your answers. What she desires is that somebody would understand her, know her. You see, there's a lot of times, I don't know if you caught this, but you can be in a house with somebody, but you don't really see them. Think about this. Even with the people you love, when's the last time you felt they actually saw your soul? When's the last time you, as a single person, you were in a community and you talk about the Bible, you talk about God, you hang out together, but seriously, when's the last time somebody really looked into you? And they knew you. You know, I think there's a lot of moments in life, that we just pass each other by. I was in a service where, at one of our services, we had like 1,000 people sitting around. And I remember I would practice my sermons like, 10, 20 hours. I'd work on the sermon. And then I'd practice it 10 times over and over again before I delivered. And so when I was speaking, I literally would not see people, because I'm just worried about delivering the message. And so when I would look at people, it's kind of like I didn't really see. I'm just a dispenser of information. And it was funny, about 3 years ago, I was talking, doing the same old thing, and suddenly it was like this beam of light was starting to shine on individuals' faces. And I go, whoa, it was really weird. And I heard a voice as I was speaking. I'm not sure if you've ever had this happen. It's like, you're talking, something's going on, but then you hear something else going on. And I just heard the Lord say, get my mouth moving, do you know these people? Do you see them? And I remember saying, Lord, I don't. I said, Lord, I want to learn. And I realized God was trying to teach me something that's so important. He wanted me to be able to see people, to know them, not just as a name, not just someone that goes to church, but really get to know them. And then it went deeper than this, because I realized I need to do this with my wife. I need to do this with my children and those I am called to love. But so many times, again, we just talk at very superficial levels, and we don't really have the deep conversations, the meaningful ones. And so our lives are spent just doing superficial things, talking to superficial people in superficial ways. And I said, God, I want something different. I don't want to go like when I'm in New York and I see people on cell phones And here you have thousands of people, and I'm walking the streets once a month, and there's thousands of people passing you by on Park Avenue or Madison, and all they're doing is looking at their cell phones the whole time. You'll even see this when people are in a room, and they're supposed to be talking to each other, and people are just pulling out their cell phones. I go, man, we've really got to the point where we're not paying attention at all, and our technology makes it worse. In fact, I studied this. I'm a TEDster. I go to TED conferences, and one of the conferences, this sociologist said that this group of young men that are coming through says it's probably the most socially awkward generation ever. Says they're not able to engage with other people because they're so engaged just with their cell phones or technology. And so it gets to the point that you create these avatars and these fake images to represent yourself. I said, isn't that sad? We are not challenged to know one another. How well do you know the people in your life? Do you really know them? I had this young woman come to me for counseling, and she's probably in her 20s. And really sharp business girl. I mean, amazing. And she came into the office, and we started talking, and then she started telling me about her dating life. And it was really cool. And she started, I love talking about relationships and stuff. It's one of my favorite things to discuss. And she started going through this whole story, and she got involved with, have you heard of the company eHarmony, right? And some of you probably got married through eHarmony. Some of my best friends, they met each other on eHarmony, and they got married through it. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's a really good tool. In fact, that guy's going to be coming to our church in California. We're going to try to work with him in Asia, the founder of it. And this eHarmony thing, you know, they match the characteristics and everything, tries to find your life partner, potentially. And so she says she went through the whole things. And I've never gone through it. I don't know the process. But I guess there's certain checks where you unveil more information. And there comes a point where I think you show your picture. Stuff like that. So she says she was going through this long process, and she found this man. That man, they're getting into each other, man. They're going deeper, and they're giving more and more information. And they're right about to show the picture, you know, where you're going to show each other's face. And then she said suddenly she realized something. This was her brother. How gross. She says she's gonna, So she says she stopped immediately, didn't even tell him. To this day, he doesn't know who it was. And I said, man, isn't that like life? It's like you're living with people, and man, you're talking to them, and you're engaging them, but you don't know them. It happens all the time. And you know what's worse? It happens with God. We talk about God, we know scriptures, we go to Bible study, we go to church, and we can give a little theological argument at work maybe with somebody. But do you really know him like he's your God? Do you really know him to the point that when he looks at you, he says, beautiful, amazing, you're made in my image, you're flesh of my flesh, you're bone of my bones. Do you know your God that well? You see, is it any wonder that we go to work day after day and we're bored and we're in routines and we miss out on the wonder that he's put before us every day, where there's miracles that can happen at your workplace if you touch somebody or really see someone like Jesus saw this woman, but we miss out on it. We're just focused on our routine. This is the people passing the ball, and again, you miss the dancing bear. Do you see? Oh, if you saw who you are, if you saw who God is, and if you saw one another, your life could radically change. Do you see? Oh, yeah, we visibly see, but do you really see? I love this woman named Ludmila from Yugoslavia, I believe, from a European country, or Czechoslovakia, I forget which one. But Ludmila is 82 years of age. And man, when you watch her, she can see. Watch how her home becomes a place, a sanctuary for people, where she gets to know them. Look at how she listens. Look at how she sees a person. This is what you can become. Check out Ludmila.
Ludmila. In my lifetime, I have experienced the rule of two totalitarian regimes. One was the German Nazis, and the second was the Russian Communists. The Word of God says 366 times, "Do not be afraid, do not fear." So we weren't afraid. After 40 years of communism here, the fact that many believers left the country, the Czech Republic has been called the most atheist place in Europe. It breaks my heart. My name is Ludmila Harirova. I'm 82 years old. I have 7 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. My husband went to heaven in 2002. The Lord Jesus told me now he is my husband and he wants to continue to use me. He wants me to be his representative, his ambassador. Next to the door of my house, there is a bronze sign that says, "The Embassy of the Kingdom of Heaven." My home is an extension of Christ's kingdom. It's a place where people can come and look for help if they're in trouble or have a need. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. That is the atmosphere I want here at the embassy. The visitors that I get, some of them have called ahead to let me know they're coming, and some just come. The ones that haven't called are usually the best ones, because I'm not prepared for them. Everything that happens is dependent on the Lord. Today, a dear friend came by. She's a widow, and her family really are struggling financially. Whenever people enter this house, I just lay everything else aside and spend time with them. I have learned to recognize the inner voice of the Holy Spirit and give Him room to use me. The Holy Spirit likes to take control. Often I listen to myself and I'll say things I wouldn't even think about. There is no problem to deal with the issues people bring when they come here, because the Holy Spirit is here. It's an honor for me to be an instrument of God's love and His wisdom every day. We often don't realize that all believers are called to be representatives of the kingdom of heaven. We are all ambassadors. The Lord Jesus didn't choose to do it any other way. He simply entrusted us.
Lumilla sees. You have the same gift to do that. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, He gives you illumination like no other. That's a power you've been given. You have that supernatural ability. You see, when you look in the mirror, sometimes all you think about is orphan. I don't have much. You think like it. There's no one that really knows me. And God says, "What are you talking about? You're my favorite child. You're my son. You're my daughter. Are you kidding me? Some of you, when you come to church, you think, man, I'm just a member here at Orchard. And God says, what? No, you're the ministers, every one of you. You're his royal priesthood. You all, well, that's God's job, and, you know, it's Larry's. No. If you look at the Bible, it says you are the royal priesthood. In fact, what you're supposed to do is be the ministers in the work field. You know, Scott and these fellas and these women, they're actually supposed to equip you to do that. You're the front lines of God's work. So, yeah, you come together on Sunday, you gather here, and you get inspired, encouraged, you pray together, you get healed up. But, man, Monday morning, it's on. It's game time. It's fun time. Exploration. Because you're rubbing shoulders with people who are made in his image that need the miracle and touch and knowledge of God in them. Yeah, you're not just members. You're ministers. Some of you look in the mirror, you go, oh, man, I'm weak. I'm just filled with a lot of pain. And God says, yeah, I know. But I'll show that you can become strong. You forgot how strong you are. You see, you can be broken, but God can make you new. You can be used, and God can transform you into something amazing. You can be weak, but you can become supernatural. I saw it in my son. My son's 18 years old, and he was having some ups and downs with his life. He's an athlete. He's 6'3", 13 size, feet, shoes. Crazy kid. Good-looking kid. Takes after my wife, of course. Amazing kid. And what happens is I saw him kind of going ups and down with his life, and I said, why don't you go to some of my friends in Hawaii? And he hung out there, and God changed him. Then he took a 3-month mission trip to Kathmandu, Nepal. 2 weeks into it, he calls me and says something amazing, coming from my own son's lips. Dad, hey, would you pray for me, Dad? I read in the Bible, it said that, you know, Jesus commissioned his disciples to heal the sick and to see the blind, to be able to see again, and the lame to walk, and the dead to be able to be raised. Hey, Dad, you know, there's a lot of dead people around here because they sacrifice them, and they even sacrifice some live humans here, Dad, in the villages. Hey, Dad, we want to see God's supernatural work here. Would you pray that I could be a part of that? How would you answer that? You know, with your Western mindset and the way you do church and the way we do it in America, we don't really have a response sometimes. We kind of know God may do that, but we don't really know. And so I was in that tension moment. I said, yes, of course I will. But inside I'm thinking, wow, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. My son calls me again 2 weeks later. Dad, you're not going to believe what happened. We're walking the streets, and there's these blind people on the side of the street, Dad. So we decide to stop and start praying for them. And, Dad, I'm not kidding you. They can see now. Dad, there's this man that we saw on the street. He was walking with a cane, limping around, an old man. So, Dad, we prayed for him. He threw the cane away and started dancing in the streets. Hey, Dad, you're not going to believe this one. I was walking when I saw this man lying down in the middle of the street, motionless. I went to walk away, but something told me, the Holy Spirit, that I need to stay around. All his friends gathered around this man who was turned blue. He said, Dad, I felt compelled like a magnet to get closer. And then I looked at the doctor, and the doctor looked at us and said, it looks like fatal alcohol syndrome. And my son did the unimaginable to me. He says, excuse me, sir, would you mind if I prayed for him? And the doctor says, okay, whatever. My son went down. He laid hands on this man's legs. He says, in the name of Jesus, pray you'd be healed, you'd be resurrected. The man took a deep gasp of air and looked right into my son's eyes. Saucers. And then my son said the man became so strong that they had to hold him down. All these group of men held him down because he started speaking in tongues and different languages. My son said for the next hour, he cast out 10 demons. 2 of them spoke in English. My son's never been the same again. And what's so cool about it is he's been home for a few months now, and he's still seeing miracles happen. You go, well, that's just in Nepal. It's not true. I can show you people in our church with stage 4 cancer that got healed. I can show you couples that hadn't tried all these infertility things for 10 years. All the doctors they've gone to spend thousands of dollars. One Sunday we pray. A month later, they come up with tears and say, Dave, we're pregnant. I can show you how God is raising the dead all over the place in Africa and in China. God's doing it. And we here just kind of sit by and say, yeah, I just got to go to work. I'm just kind of going to go to church. And we miss out on the dancing bear. Hey, Orchard, do you remember who you are? You're amazing. And man, does God love you with his mad love. He passionately goes after you. Even though you're saying, I don't see you, God, he's right there in front of you. And even though you say, yeah, I don't have much, God says, what are you talking about? You have the Holy Spirit. You have supernatural power. Come on. Live your life fully. Live your life fully awakened. Archer, today, when you walk out these doors, you don't have to walk out the same way. You can walk out fully alive. Today's the day of your salvation. Salvation is just not a moment in time when you give your life to Jesus. Salvation happens every day until the day you see Christ. You are continually being saved. He's renewing you day by day. So my prayer is for all of you to be willing to fully surrender and say, yeah, Lord, I don't want to live in illusions anymore. I want to know who I am. I'm a favored son and daughter. Yeah, I've had all this stuff going around me, but I know who I am. So God, help me to believe that, not fearing man anymore. I'm not going to fear what people say about me or think about me. I'm going to live fully surrendered to you. And then God may be saying to some of you, get to know others too. How do you see them? Do you just see them as projects, or do you see them as humans? Do you see the beauty in the people? Just think about it. For some of you, when you think of the people that are painful in your life, you hear their voices, them criticizing you or saying things about you, and they've done things that are unforgivable. The way you deal with that is to see people like Jesus did. Remember when he was on the cross? People hurling insults at him, beating him, spitting on him. In the midst of utter humiliation, naked on the cross, Jesus was able to utter these words, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Translated, Father, forgive them because they're children. They don't know what they're saying. Something happens when you see like Jesus sees. You realize that person may be 40 years old, but they still have a little child in them. And you see that child that wasn't loved or got hurt or abused when they're younger. It releases love when you can see like Jesus sees. Some of you, you need to see your work differently. All you see is a job description. In fact, you know, when people ask you, who are you? Oh, I'm an artist. I'm an engineer. I'm a builder. I'm a mechanic. I'm a housewife. Really? Is that how you want to define yourself? That's why when you lose a job, people feel so depressed because everything's wrapped in that title. Come on, Christian, you're much more than that. You're beautiful. You have the characteristics of God in you. Some of the best jobs today, the 10 best jobs, weren't around 10 years ago. So was everybody unhappy 10 years ago? No. You see, if you know who you are, the character, the unique qualities of you, man, you become awakened to the journey God has for you. Hey, Orchard, I love you guys. I prayed for you this morning, and I pray that you'd walk out of here different. I believe in the power of prayer. I know it's awkward, especially in American culture sometimes, to move with your feet, but I'm of the position right now that I'm tired of just thinking things in my head. I said, I need to be doing something now. My feet need to move. And some of you, you've been sitting there year after year. You sit and you go through life sitting, basically, seeing the same old thing, the people passing the ball around, but you don't really see. Maybe today's the day you move and say, yeah, I'm going to show with my whole body, I'm fully yielded, I'm fully surrendered, I want to be fully alive. I want to see what God sees in myself, others, my work, my world. I want to see. If that's you today, I'm going to invite you to come forward for prayer. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do a general prayer for all those who come forward, and then pastors will be here after we do the general prayer to pray for all those who individually like to be prayed for. We're going to just take the time to do that. Because I believe you'll be different today. You can receive the healing of God, and when you open your eyes again, you can be new. I've seen it happen. Come on now. Let's all stand together. And after I pray, we're going to sing this song. And as soon as we start singing this song, you just make your way right up quickly and stand right around the front. Don't be ashamed. So, Father, right now, we thank you for your beauty. God, help us not to fear anymore. Fear man. Even in this moment, we get afraid. It's because we're so concerned about public opinion. God, help us not to fear what people think anymore. Help us to see this mad love that you have for us, this crazy love. That you adore us, God. You look at us like a mother looks at a little child, a baby that's given to her. God, there's this adoration, this sense that we're miracles. Lord, we're your part of your flesh, your image, Lord. So, Father, I pray you'd release each of us into the freedom to being transparent and real. Release us into not fearing anymore. And I pray, Father, you would change some people here today. And they would feel totally new when they walk out of this room. So, God, let your Holy Spirit please work right now. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come and rest in this room. Take away fears. Call your people forward, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You come now. If God's speaking to you, you come right now. Don't be afraid. Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Come on, Lord Jesus. Come on now. Don't be afraid. You don't have to keep carrying the baggage, the weight that others have placed on you, the criticism of your own voice. You can be set free today. You are amazing. You're beautiful in God's sight. God wants to pour his love on you right now. Just like the woman, she asked for a drink of water. God gave her a waterfall that not only quenched her physical thirst, but her soul thirst. Come on, meet Jesus now. Anybody else, you come on now. We won't wait long. Come on, this is for you. If you've been standing there, you haven't moved yet, but you know God's talking to you. This one's for you. You come now, right now. Okay, I'd like you to put your hand on one another's shoulder, if that's okay. And I'd like to pray a prayer for you. Because we heal each other. You know, God uses everyone. We don't have to be pastors. All of you are his priests before God. Holy Spirit, right now. Lord, embed your DNA, Lord, from your mind in each one of the people who've come. Lord, there's so much pain, so much brokenness, so much toxic stuff that we've held on to. Things that people said to us in elementary school. Lord, looks we can remember from people of disdain or disappointment or disapproval. God, they harm us. They paralyze us. They cause us to cower. So, Father, right now, we pray you heal us of all those memories. You cut the chains of those memories off. Lord, for the abuse that happened maybe when we were younger, or that we're currently facing. God, heal us physically. Heal us mentally. Spiritually, Lord. Heal us now. Lord, you know us. The one who is broken above all, you know us. You know our pain. You know our misery. You bore all of our sin and shame. And thank you, Lord, you set us free. Just like you're resurrected, you set us free. So, Father, I pray you'd free each person here. Help not to fear anymore. Lord, if there's anybody here that's coming that's been sick or they're facing that, Lord, we know a lot of sickness is caused from the stress. Father, we pray you'd heal them of their sicknesses, the stresses in their life. God, we pray for each one who's come and they need a sense of destiny, a purpose. God, help them to see they're more than a job description. Lord, they're your children. Lord, their character stays the same, or their characteristics that you've placed in them, no matter what job they have. So, Father, please help them see their worth and who they are. Empower them, Lord, to run like the children of Narnia, to not fear, to roam the whole earth, for the whole earth is theirs. So, Holy Spirit, supernaturally fall now on each one, living in your power, Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.